starting to look a lot more like in the open. Don't have to read many tea leaves for this one. I think it was Lindsey Graham and maybe a couple of others that have outright said on television, on the Sunday shows, that Maduro can either walk away, he can be assassinated, or there's going to be a coup on him inside. But one of the other things, that now that we're just outright openly going for a regime change conflict, we've got a fair amount of combat power in the region, so it's not an empty threat here. And I think you and I have talked before, it's like Trump tried a ham-fisted with John Bolton leading the effort with Juan Guaido in his first administration, which was a disaster and humiliating failure. Now it looks like they're not going to just try and hope to foment something inside. It looks like they're going to try and bring military power to bring something to bear inside. First question is, what the hell? Why are we even worried about trying to create something inside of Venezuela? How does that help us?
Yeah, it's all about the oil, I think. To get control of.
But see, that Maduro offered basically on a silver platter, and Trump actually used the F word because he was so mad about it. He didn't want to win like that. They want him out. How does those things go together? I don't.
Well, they don't. Look, there's no rationality here on the part of the Trump administration. You know, number one, they're lying. They're absolutely, totally lying about the role of Venezuela as being this major player in the narcotics trafficking world. Look, when I set up Berg, I was one of five people that set up Berg Associates in 1998, consulting firm. And when we were done, there are three of us. One of my partners was the former chief of international operations of DEA. He's the one that set up what was known as the Kingpin program in 1980. My other partner set up all the undercover money laundering operations for DEA in New York City. And Berg Associates, we spent, you know, go back the now it's 27 years. Over the course of that 27 years, we did a lot of investigations that dealt with narcotics trafficking out of Colombia, out of Panama, out of Ecuador, out of Mexico. Venezuela was never much on that list. Venezuela was a place where you saw a lot of money laundering. You saw a lot of product counterfeiting. In the case that we filed, a RICO case we filed against Philip Morris on behalf of the European Union, we had evidence of Philip Morris executives flying into Venezuela, paying off border guards, and going in an armored vehicle into Colombia to a city called Maicao, which is up in the northeast corner of Colombia. And there they met with a Colombian senator by the name of Santander López Sierra. López Sierra was known as the Marlboro Man. In fact, Philip Morris even went to Colombia and filmed him with the Marlboro Man commercial, you know, riding a horse. The problem was he was a, you know, fat guy. He looked like a watermelon with feet. Okay. Oh, God. Yeah. But
that's, you know, quite an imagery.
Yeah. You said poor horse. But at that point, they deliver to these Philip Morris executives third party checks, U.S. postal money orders, and Philip Morris executives took it back across the border. They deposited it into a Venezuelan bank, and then the Venezuelan bank would ship it to a Russian bank. And then it made its way from the Russian bank into the bank accounts controlled by Philip Morris. Now, part of the reason I know that is I'm sitting here, I've got the bank records from those Russian banks, because that came out of a different case. So with all that as background, I have some knowledge and experience with this. The Trump administration is lying about the drug threat coming out of Venezuela. And that first boat that they had, that they blew up, the 60-foot cigarette boat, had four outboard motors on it. The distance from the north coast of Venezuela to the southern border of the United States in the Florida Keys is about 1,300 miles. That 60-foot cigarette boat with four outboard motors can only go 250 miles before it needs to be refueled. Well, you got 11 people on board? Where are the drugs? Because you're going to need at least 300 5-gallon jerry cans to keep filling that boat up so you can make it to the United States. It's not cost effective. That's not how drug traffickers work. This is a lie. And the United States is murdering.
If you control that imagery we had from just today, there's going to be a picture here where one missile takes out two boats. And for all the life of me, they look empty. It doesn't look like there's anything in it at all. So I'm not sure what that's supposed to be all about, but we keep claiming that we have all these. I forget the number now. See, it's quite a lot now. And around 50 people have been summarily executed just because we claim that they're carrying drugs or so. How does that play into this whole, I don't even know what you call it, fiasco, this picture that we're drawing? Well, now, there's a lot on that boat there. That one had something, quite a bit of something on it. But this one, in a minute, you'll see two in a row that looks to me like it's just almost empty.
Well, I don't discount the possibility that you're seeing AI created videos or CIA created videos where they'll take a couple of boats.
Yeah, see it right there.
Yeah, they'll take a couple of boats, put them out there, and we blow them up, and then we get the claim that they're carrying drugs.
What do you make of those two boats that you see, as best you understand?
Yeah, that you're not hauling drugs. It's ridiculous. And that one's got at least, what is that, three outboard motors? Again, it does. They don't have the ability to make it to the United States. And it's not like there are gas stations all along the way. I mean, it's a garbage story from the outset. But I don't doubt that some of those boats are involved with smuggling cigarettes and liquor back and forth. You know, that's definitely happens. You know, Aruba, Curacao, you know, those are two big places for just off the coast of Colombia and Venezuela, Bonaire, that are used to transit a lot of contraband, but not narcotics. I mean, that's a big money business, and those are handled with bigger accounts. The biggest one is flows across the Mexican border, not Venezuela. So this is the CIA, but going back to 2018, because in 2018, I believe that Donald Trump, based upon what I've seen in public, signed a finding that authorized the CIA to put in place a plan to overthrow the government of Maduro. And included in that plan was using this group, Tren de Aragua, as the pretext of, oh boy, they're the human smuggler, drug trafficking kings. So we got to, they were used by the CIA to help build a narrative to justify this kind of action. And it's shameful. It is illegal what the United States is preparing to do. And again, we've George W. Bush, with the AUMF that was signed after 9/11, the authorization for use of military force, that became the justification, the excuse to go out and kill people that we just decide are bad, instead of going by the normal rules, which is the only way you can take somebody's life is if they pose an immediate threat to take yours or to cause serious, grievous bodily harm. Otherwise, you don't have the right to kill them.
Right. And yet, yeah, and certainly none of that's
we've now got George W. Bush killing people, Barack Obama killing people, Biden killing people, and Trump killing people. We've got a bunch of murderers as national leaders.
So let me ask you this again, before we run out of time here. A lot of the Venezuela stuff is left over from the first administration, and we've been talking about some of that. But now here recently, and I'm talking about with just the last few weeks, for some reason, they moved this crosshairs over to Colombia as well. And now we're demonizing their leader, which he's just infuriated about what's been going on here. What can you tell us about what's going on with Colombia? Because, and you may correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not an expert down in this area, but I thought that we had pretty good relations with Colombia for going back a long time. What happened?
Well, the president that's come in, Petro, he's considered a leftist. So we've got we're immediately ideologically opposed to him just by virtue of him, quote, being a leftist, number one. But the cooperation on, trying to combat the drug trafficking out of Colombia. Good Lord. When I worked at State Counterterrorism in 1989, 90, 91, my first boss was Morris Busby. And Buzz later in 92, he went to Colombia as the ambassador, and he was there during the entire hunt for Pablo Escobar. If anybody has watched the Netflix series Narcos, well, they have Ambassador Crosby. Well, that's Ambassador Busby. Mm-hmm. And, the CIA chief of station at the time, a guy named Bill Wagner. Bill's a friend. The DEA chief, Joe Toft. So this goes back. And that was where, my business partner, now retired, set up the Kingpin program. Because the thought behind the Kingpin program was that if you kill or capture the top the leaders of these narcotics cartels, that will cause them to collapse. Well-intentioned thought. It turned out when you take out those cartels, it's like hitting a ball of mercury with a hammer. Boop! All of a sudden, you got all these little mercury balls running around because there's so much money involved.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You think I got the head, but no one's going to leave that network dead because they want to take that money.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, I thought I had a 3 p.m., but I'm good. I don't have to jump off. But what happened is the nexus between U.S. corporations, U.S. businesses, U.S. banks grew very, very close with these narcotics cartels. These cartels couldn't do what they want without the cooperation of U.S. businesses and banks. And you know, I can give you just one real simple example that I worked on firsthand. I was doing due diligence for a bank in Panama. They said, hey, we got this new e-commerce site. These two guys, one's a Ukrainian and one's a Spaniard. And I said, oh, and they're in Panama. Yeah, that's not unusual. And they're selling soap online. I'm thinking, soap online? You know, if I was looking to start an internet business, soap wouldn't be at the top of my list. But okay. So I said, and they said, what we're getting is all these credit card transactions out of this bank in Texas. And so I said, okay, give me a list of the transactions. So I got, you know, the names of the people, their address, their phone number, social security number, and, you know, and how much they purchased. And when you looked at the purchases, it was reflected what I call structuring. And the structuring means, you know, you got like two or three amounts that keep appearing over and over. It wasn't like a random assignment of numbers. So I start calling the people on the list as I was pretending to be the customer service rep for the soap online company. And everyone was like, what soap? I didn't buy any soap. And so then then I finally figured out these were debit cards. So what had happened was this drug trafficking organization in the United States went to this bank in the United States, bought a bunch of debit cards. They provided the bank with all the names, all the know your customer information you're supposed to have, taken off of the dark web, names, addresses. What was interesting is with each one of them, there's always like one thing off, you know, like a phone number wasn't correct or an address was incorrect. Something was off, but they looked legit. And so let's just say the way you make that deal, you go to the bank and say, hey, I'd like to buy $1.5 million worth of debit cards, and I'll give you $2 million for it. Bank jumped at it. And then what would happen is they would run these charges on these debit cards that they had, and then the money would be deposited into this bank in Panama, and then the bank in Panama would then be given instructions to wire it to a bank in Cyprus. So once I, you know, figured this out and I told the bank threw the penalty flag and they shut down the business. But it's an example, it's just one example, because these people are incredibly creative that are on the drug trafficking side. And I saw it. They used John Deere. They used Wachovia Bank. You know, so if we want to deal with the drug problem, let's start here at home with our own corporations, our own companies, our own financial institutions.
Yeah, but that ain't happening anytime soon.
Oh, of course not. In fact, me and my partners, we had a deal back in, I want to say it was 2014, with the government of Mexico. We would, my two partners went to Mexico City, were prepared to sign a deal with the government of Mexico to bring a civil racketeering case against Wachovia Bank. Eric Holder intervened and threatened Mexico that there would be punishment if they went ahead with this. Why? Because Wachovia Bank made generous contributions to Mr. Barack Obama and company. So this kind of hypocrisy, and then we justify it by going out and killing people. That we don't well, even yes, know.
So where is this going? Just in the last few minutes we have here, that's all the stuff that's going to stay in the because too many people have a benefit of doing that, unfortunately. What's going to happen on the ground here with Venezuela and Colombia? Do you think that there's going to be a regime change in Venezuela, and what's going to happen to Colombia?
They're going to attempt regime change. I think the United States is going to get embroiled in a war in Venezuela that we can't win. I'll say that Venezuela is Spanish for Vietnam. Okay. It's a big country. If the U.S. wants to fly in there with helicopters, good luck with that. The Venezuelan army and paramilitary units, they have ample supplies of surface, shoulder fired surface air missiles. So you've got that. If you try to put U.S. troops on the ground, the ambush sites are ample. And the size of the country, it is huge. It's not a little tiny country like Panama, you know, where you can drive across it in an hour, hour and a half. We are going to kill some Venezuelans, and we're going to kill innocent people. And then we're going to ignite a level of anti-American sentiment throughout Central and South America. I saw this in Panama. When we were doing an investigation on product counterfeiting back in 2000, 2001, there's this one little port on Colón. It's called Coco Solo, the Lone Coconut. And they have all these little boats, costales, that sail along the coast, and they carry refrigerators, air conditioners, household appliances, domestic, you know, rice cookers, coffee makers. They're the main smuggling route into Colombia. And while I was there one day, I was talking with one of the women who worked there, and she recounted how we killed her two children during our operation in 1989 to take out Manuel Noriega. We killed two of her small children. And she didn't hate me, thank God. But there's a human cost that comes with this that we never pay.
Yeah.
We never accept. And, you know, the killing, we still have not learned the lesson. You can't kill your way to peace.
Yeah. Never works. What about Colombia? What is this just something he just wants to stir the pot up, or is there anything going to happen there?
No, well, I think they're creating more of a, you know, they've kicked the hornet's nest. Whatever incentive Colombia had previously to try to crack down on drug trafficking, they're just going to say, screw it. The drug trafficking cost is real here in America in terms of loss of lives.
Yeah.
I agree with what's been said about we've lost more people to the epidemic of drugs in the United States. But clean it up here at home.
Right, 100%.
We allow the distribution, and we don't do the treatment. And, you've got city after city. Tucker Carlson, he did a great piece on it last night, running down just the disaster that you see in places like Philadelphia, at Kensington Avenue, and in other places. What we're doing is, instead of forging a closer relationship with Colombia, and Lord knows we have trained a boatload of Colombian soldiers over there. I mean, you've got people that have been trained by CIA as well as U.S. military going back 40 years.